the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are still within the post-feast of the Ascension. And next Sunday is Pentecost. And at this point, we hear again from the Gospel according to St. John, the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because the content of that prayer has so much to say to us about the fulfillment of the work that the Son of God has come into the world to do. It's not just a prayer that's done before he goes to be crucified. It's a prayer that tells us so much about why he is doing the work that he is doing, why he is going to destroy the power of death, that we may be one the way he and the Father are one, that we may be one with the Father through Christ, that we may be one through Christ and in Christ, because he is one of us, fully human, and yet at the same time, fully God. God incarnate, come into the world to destroy the power of death in our humanity, so that the power of death has no power over us any longer, and so that we can live and be at one with the divine life of God the Father himself, that life that Christ has come to share with us. That is the life that we are created to have. That is the life that we are baptized into. That life is the standard of our life in the world. The other day I heard a sermon on television. Watched the beginning of it at least. And I was amazed. The preacher said clearly and directly, we sin because we are sinners. We are sinners. That's what we are. That defines us. And we are sinners because Adam sinned in the beginning. And we have the consequences of Adam's sin in us. And we are born sinners. And that's why we sin. And I thought, gee, and I always feel bad when I say that that is what Western Christians really do believe. But they really do. And we have to take care that it isn't actually what we believe. Because it's not true. Yes, we do miss the mark. We do sin. The sin is to miss the mark. But the point is, there is a mark. And we are defined as human beings by the mark that we miss, not by our missing of the mark. And we are baptized into the divine life of God himself. And when we miss the mark, we have betrayed Christ. And we need to return to that life. All too often in our spiritual lives, we take the same starting point as those outside of the fullness of the Christian faith, and we think of ourselves as fundamentally myself, a person who sins. And we come up with this strange, false humility about how I am only a sinner. I come, I confess my sins, I've heard people say, Father, I have sinned, but I am only a sinner. I know that I am only a sinner and I am humble before God. Well, what you know is wrong. You're not only a sinner. You are created in the image and likeness of God. You are baptized into the divine life of God himself. That life that defines you by sin and the fear of death is dead and gone. And whenever we return to it, we have betrayed the true life. That's the thing that we have to remember. And not be tempted away from an understanding of what we are created to be and what has been restored to us in Christ. Not as a capacity that we have ourselves, of course. Our holiness, our perfection, our goodness, our life is God's own goodness and life and perfection. We can share in it by repudiating the mistaken identification of ourselves as fallen beings who are inherently sinful and must simply throw ourselves on the mercy of God, otherwise we will be damned. And that is the whole content of salvation for us. That is a lie. God came in order to restore our lives to us. Contrast this idea that we sin because we are sinners with the lives of even fairly recent historical saints. The saint whose name we mentioned today, Father John of Kronstadt, St. John of Kronstadt, an exception in so many ways to our standard idea of what a saint is like. Not a monastic, but a married parish priest for 53 years in the same church in the city of Kronstadt, a port city near St. Petersburg, very rough, difficult, corrupt city, never a moment to himself, not able to separate himself as we all sometimes may idealize, perhaps in the busy course of Great Lent, saying to ourselves, how can we be spiritual when things seem to be more busy during Great Lent than they are any other time? Well, our vision there, of course, is that if only we could withdraw to the monastery and have some time to ourselves to focus on our spiritual lives, that would make all the difference. Father John of Kronstadt never had such a day in the 53 years that he served as a parish priest in that difficult city of Kronstadt. He was always surrounded by crowds of people, always involved in the responsibilities of a busy city life. And in that world, he achieved the spiritual beauty and perfection that called out to the hearts of so many. By the time he was an elderly priest, his coming into the town was a city event. Throngs of people would come to meet him at the railroad station, hoping to gain sight of him. He had a charisma, but not the kind of charisma that we think of today when we think of movie stars or politicians. Not a charisma based on his personality, although his personality certainly was the means, the vehicle through which the shining forth of the glory of God and the perfection of Christ did come. I mean, each of us is a unique human being, different from all others, and the things that are different and unique about us are meant to be lit up by the presence of God, and so they become the way that God communicates himself to others through the persons that we are. And so certainly there was that about him. But the charisma that drew people to Father John was something more substantial, something that has to do with all of our humanity, the humanity that each one of us has. Those who saw him described him in the words of one person who was able to be there when he came into town on that train as a young person, wrote late in life that when people saw Father John, they saw that a man, a woman, a particular man, not mankind in general or humankind in general, but that particular human beings, individual human beings, could be beautiful, could shine with a spiritual holiness and spiritual beauty. And people were drawn to that. People wanted to be in his presence. But it wasn't his personality, it was the presence of God shining through the human being, as all of us are called to be Christ bearers. Before Christ came, we were not able to be one with God. We could act in a decent kind of way, contrary to what some in the Christian West say, that we lost the ability to even be decent human beings. No, we didn't lose that ability to be decent human beings. The prophets of the Old Testament, the Theotokos, Mary the Mother of God, she was a decent human being. It is possible to be righteous before God in a basic kind of decent way. But we had lost the ability to be one with God and shine forth his holiness, goodness, beauty, and perfection. And that's what people saw in Father John of Kronstadt. Not because of his accomplishment of something himself, but because of his decrease of himself, of his having gotten himself out of the way to the point that it was possible for him to be the human being that God had created him to be. That kind of charisma. And when people were in his presence, this writer says, the beauty in each one of them rose to the surface and responded like hearing a clear tone to the spiritual beauty and holiness that they saw shine forth through Father John of Kronstadt. And that beauty, that holiness, is in each one of us, because we are created in such a way that the meaning of our lives is to shine forth with that beauty and that holiness. That is what we are. We are not fundamentally sinners. When we sin, it's a departure from what we are. We need to get straight in our minds what the norm is. The norm is to be at one with God through Christ. That's the norm. Father John of Kronstadt is famous for the practical advice, because he was a practical man, living in the difficult world from day to day, decade after decade. And he is famous for his practical spiritual life. If you read his book, My Life in Christ, you'll find that practical advice there. One of the things that he says is this: when you intend to do a good work, you will be tempted by things that are irrelevant to the doing of that good work, and your days will be lost in details devoted to things that don't matter. For the most part, don't even matter to you. And we're drawn away by the enemies of God, specifically so we don't do the good work that we are called to do at that particular moment. Father John reminds us that we are called to do battle and struggle with powers that hate God and hate us and want us to be distant from him, to disorient us and encourage us exactly to miss the mark. But hitting the mark is easy if we're only not distracted and we focus on doing what needs doing at every particular moment. And that's what Father John did during that life as a simple parish priest. We have to remind ourselves that this is what our spiritual life is about. It's not so difficult for us to figure out what we need to do, and we know the spirit in which it needs to be done, to focus on the task and do what needs to be done and turn aside from temptations to belittle, condemn, ridicule, abandon the spirit of Christ, but simply do what needs to be done. That was Father John's way, and is a path of spiritual holiness that anyone can follow. God came into the world in order to make it possible for us not to have to waste our lives on meaningless detail, but to have us be able to be transformed by God into a living presence of God Himself, Christ bearers, transformed by the things that we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.